to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go harder. Just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive. Just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter. I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, this is high-level conversation where we just talk to like-minded individuals and just talk about entrepreneurship, ownership, and as always, just succeeding in life. And today, we have a really phenomenal guest that has joined us. She is basically a successful entrepreneur. She is a serial businesswoman. She is a virtual assistant guru, and we just want to shout her out. I see her laughing, but she's the truth, and we just want to welcome her to the Diagnosed Success Podcast. What's up, Annalicia?
How are you? I'm definitely happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you, you know, and we're happy to just chop it up with you real quick, just to talk about your business, talk about all the wonderful things that you got going on. And I dig the snazzy background. That looks very, very chic.
This is my home. You can't tell? I live here.
I love it. That's what's up. So, you know, normally when we start off interviewing the guests, one thing that we normally ask them is a lot of people, they tend to not talk about the beginning stages of, you know, life and things like that. So can you just talk about a little bit growing up, what that looked like for you?
For sure. So I'm currently located in Cincinnati, Ohio, with plans to move to Dallas, Texas before the year's out. So my friends got to hold me accountable. My friends in Dallas got to hold me accountable to move there. But I'm originally from Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. I did undergrad, or I was even in grad school while I was living in Lexington, Kentucky, which is probably about an hour away from Louisville or so. So yeah, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. I was blessed to grow up in a two-parent household. It was four of us. I have an older sister, younger brother, and a twin sister, actually. And I would say, even since I was younger, I always managed my money very, very well. And that's something that really, really stuck with me as I got older. Now, if you would have told me when I was younger, would I be an entrepreneur? I would have been like, you know, I don't know. Like, I didn't really have those examples of business persons when I was growing up that to look up to and say, hey, that's definitely what I want to do. It was always find a good job, find something you're interested in that pays well, and do for 40 years until you retire. My mindset and my thought process of that is definitely different than kind of what I was raised and kind of what I do now. So now I do a number of things, such as invest in real estate in Ohio. I'm currently a landlord. I manage a virtual assistant program. So I've taught over 400 people how to start their virtual assistant or social media management businesses by themselves. I also have my own agency called Elevated Assist, which is a virtual assistant and social media management agency. I do have my own podcast, Financial Flex, which is currently in transition, but we will be back.
Dope.
Definitely stay tuned. And then also, people always forget that I still actually have a 9-to-5. So I'm a healthcare administrator, and I'm fortunate enough at this point to actually be working from home.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And that's dope. It's a couple of things that you said that I love. And, you know, we're all about financial literacy, all about empowerment, all about making sure that we support business. And, you know, one thing I love, and we had this conversation with a couple other guests as well, is like changing that generational mentality. It's like when you grow up in a lot of different households, predominantly what they tell you is get a good job, get some good benefits, you know, work for the city, work for the state. It's never really about ownership. So when people talk about generational wealth and changing that dynamic, it all starts with the mentality, you know, to actually think about ownership and business. So, I mean, the fact that you were able to make that transition, I mean, that's dope. That's super dope.
Yeah, that's completely true. I completely agree. And I tell people, because people always say, how do you get to that mindset? Like, how do you think like that? Think that there's more out there and more opportunity for you? Because there's truly nothing that anyone can tell me that I can't do at this point. Like, that is completely shifted. I've really been able to get really, really great results very, very quickly, but just truly just believing in myself and just executing based on the knowledge provided to me. But I think the best thing people can do is just really isolate yourself. Honestly, you can't Because you're going to be in an environment that constantly feeds you and tells you that the best thing to do is get a good job. And that's job, right? The best thing to do is to really isolate yourself and feed yourself with knowledge and tell you to think differently, right? A lot of entrepreneurs are independent thinkers. They're not doing what everybody else is doing. And a lot of people probably think they're crazy for, you know, doing things completely different. Not saying that, you know, going the route of going to college and getting a good job is wrong, but being mindful that there are other options out there for you. And I think in school, they didn't really teach you that.
That's a fact, you know, and actually to segue off of what you said, you know, quote unquote, playing it safe, right? Mm-hmm. Like people think, all right, you go to school, you get a degree, you get a job. But the reality is that that's actually playing it unsafe, because when you work for someone else, the reality is when it's time to downsize, they want to lay off people. You have no control over that. When you're an owner of your own business, you know, you really control your own destiny. It really doesn't matter if you work 20 hours a day because you own it. Right. So
exactly. You
know, it's different. It's a hustler's mentality, but it always has that positive mindset. So that's a dope thing you said, too. And a lot of times people, you know, they don't see that because, like we said, it's conditioning. So, you know, one person said one time, man, I've been conditioned so much. My conditioning's been conditioned, you know,
Jesus, fix it.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's just how it is, like the workings of society. So, and like you said, when you're an entrepreneur, you're a go-getter, you got that spirit of ambition. You know, a lot of times people don't understand that. So, you know, but they do understand the wins once they see you in your glory, but they don't
know. That's all they see. That's all they see. I mean, people don't know that I work people make me aware that I work all the time and I never have time for other stuff. But like people that don't know you from a personal level, they see the success stories, but they don't really see the work in the background. You know, they only see what you choose to show them and nobody really does it. Talk about the negative, you know, aspects of having sleepless nights. The reality of it is you go from working 9 to 5 to working 9 to 3 a.m. as an entrepreneur. But the difference is you love it. If you wanted to go, you could. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not dedicated to clocking in at a certain time point. When you are an entrepreneur, you are truly owning your own time. That's the big difference.
Definitely. You know what I'm saying? Just having that freedom. And that's a fact. It's like having that freedom. So definitely, I agree with you 100%. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, because you have a very successful virtual assistant business. So can you expand on that? Like just for the listeners out there that might not be too familiar with that whole world. I mean, people know what a virtual assistant is, but as far as like your business structure.
For sure. So a virtual assistant, one, is someone who takes care of admin tasks, secretarial tasks, maybe some technical support, basically any work that can be done similar to your regular executive assistant in someone's office that can be done remotely, right? We have a series of different clients with different backgrounds. We have some influencers. We have some small business owners. We have some instructors, some financial educators. We have lawyers that we work with, any of those things. And we help with those small day tasks, or we help manage our social media accounts. So for me, I started as a virtual assistant all by myself. I'm now at the point, because I've been able to expand so quickly with so many clients, that I have what I call an agency for myself. And I have other people on my team that help assist with the additional clients that I've gotten. What that looks like for me is, I oversee everything, and then they kind of help manage some of the tasks. And I do too. I help with a lot of tasks for certain clients who want to work directly with me. But it's work that anyone can do. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have quote unquote experience, but if you say you're a virtual assistant, you have this business, you need to be able to set your business up correctly. And that's what my program teaches you, what it should look like, what people who are looking for virtual assistants are looking for, what tools you should be aware of, and things like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I mean, it's dope too, because a lot of people, they might be interested in it, but they're not necessarily familiar with the dynamics of it. So, I mean, you know, you're really dropping gems for people out there, for all the listeners. So, you know, we appreciate you, you know.
Sometimes I will be working in my pajamas and, you know, eating snacks in my bed. That's the reality of a virtual assistant. Or I might be out the country working on some things from my laptop. Like, you really have that diversity when you have a role remotely. So you have an online business, you can work from anywhere.
That's dope. Yeah, it's, you know, you truly earned your leisure. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, shout out to Earn Your Leisure.
I'll be on there next.
I'll be on there next.
So. Yeah, that's the family right there. Shout out to them. We just had Matt on here. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, as far as like, I know that you own the business. Could you talk about some obstacles that you had to overcome in regards to, you know, building up a successful business? Because, you know, I'm pretty sure that there were some obstacles along the way.
I know. And like, what's crazy is this is a hard question for me because I don't dwell on like problems. I'm just like, okay, what's the solution? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Problems are going to happen, but I'm always moving so quickly on how to fix the problem. It's hard to really dwell on them. I would think for me, just because I'm doing so much, right. It's just at the agency. I'm doing so many other things. It's one, expanding your team and finding people who are the right fit for your team. And then also having enough time to do everything. So as my brand continues to expand, people ask me to do certain things within my brand, I have to continue to add people to my team so I can delegate more. I will not be able to elevate if I cannot delegate. So just adding more people to my team, but adding the right people. Because sometimes you add people to the team, it looks good on your resume, but they aren't truly the right fit. So having the right fit and making sure they align with me and my overall vision is so, so important for me. I do not force relationships. I do not force partnerships. I do not force anything because I just feel like if it has to be forced, then it's not meant to be. So finding the right person on your team is a lot more difficult than it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fact. It's like, you know, like they say, your network is your net worth. So making sure mm-hmm. that network of people is actually a group of people that can do the job. You know, I think a lot of times business owners, especially, they make the mistake of trying to put on their fam or put on their team. And it's like people that you know, and those lines get blurred sometimes. So it's
very
like,
much so.
Yeah. You put on your homies and they get too lax, you know, and then it's like, well, you know, I'm doing it for free. You know what I mean? And then even if you do pay them, it still gets a little convoluted. So yeah, getting the right people, that's a big important factor. So I definitely feel you on that. One thing that I wanted to ask you too, as far as like, you know, guests that come on the show, we ask them this question. So the question is, what is a mantra that you have? Like for me, particularly, mine is persistence wears down resistance. So I never view anything as like a loss. I just view it as experience. Mm-hmm. That's just how
it's a loss. It's a lesson, never a loss.
Exactly. You know, so what's your
mantra? There's so many for me.
You can shoot them all. It's cool.
Let's
freestyle.
See. Stay ready. You never have to get ready. I receive money expectantly and unexpectedly. I'm a money magnet. I never have to chase what's mine. I will attract what's mine.
I like that one. I like that.
I always say no struggle, no progress, just because I feel like it's truly no growth. Like you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I feel like it's so many that I always say.
Keep going. Come on. We like that.
Those are the ones that come top of mind. But yeah, in my membership program, we're big about like affirmations and I'm very intentional about words. So always speaking positively.
That, you know, and that's one of the main factors or key points of this podcast. Like we talk about words, the power of words, and always speaking life into your situation. So, you know, it's either you're going to be positive or you're going to be negative. So we always lean on the side of positivity. It's like, even if things look like it's going left, say it's all good. We're going to work it out. We're going to fix it. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely. Yeah. There's certain words in the membership group we are not allowed to say. We don't say
impossible. What are the no-no words in the
We don't say impossible. We don't say we can't. Anything really with any type of negative or I won't. I mean, I really like for them to speak as if things are already as they should be, as if they exist. So, you know, I tell them like, how much money do you want to make with your virtual assistant program? Because I want you to truly be intentional. Don't just say it. I need you to write it down. And that's going to until you reach it. So you say, I want to make $4,000 a month as a virtual assistant. I need you to write that down. I need you to mean it. And I need you to be mindful of that every time you're working on your business. So we are very, very intentional about the words that we speak. And I like to hold people accountable. So if anybody who's taking my program who doesn't have a client, you have to tell me why. Because I give you the step-by-step guide of how I was able to do it. And then not only me, there's several success stories within my program. So what's going on? So it's all accountability and you know, not speaking those negative words. It's just unnecessary. If you say negative things, you're going to continue to attract that in your life. And we don't want any of that energy.
Exactly. You're planting seeds. You know, people mm-hmm. don't realize that. And your words are the seeds, and then you water it with your affirmation. So it's like you just constantly feed that positivity. So
exactly.
You know, that's dope. That's definitely dope. One thing I wanted to ask you too, because you know, you said you had obviously successful people within your program. Can you highlight maybe one or two of those success stories that like?
Yeah, I would love to. So again, we had someone who took my program after 30 days. She got 4 clients, never been a virtual assistant before, and she was able to maintain it with the 9-to-5. I had another person who was able to start 2 businesses after my program. So the way it is, she's doing a virtual assistant program with just admin work, but also she has experience within the trucking industry. So she started like an admin logistics business as well, to be able to nurture and market to those clients within the trucking business that need her help after 30 days. And then I had someone else that was able to hit 4 figures very, very quickly after the program as well. And a lot of these people that start these virtual assistant programs, this is the thing, you already have the skill set. I am just helping you package up your business with my program. You're like, I know you do the work, but I don't know where to start. My is really the starting. How you come up with the business name, how to establish your brand, how are you able to set up the business but not spend a lot of money on it, right? Our students, the first thing people want to do is get an LLC. You ain't made no money yet, but you worried about running to get an LLC just so you can say
just you can say I got a business. Yeah.
Do you really? Because you got an LLC? Because you got an LLC. No, I need you to start making money. So, you know, that's what we start with, you know, the step-by-step guide of how to set up your business. And once you start making money, I want you to reinvest that back in your business. Point, my membership group is like, okay, they have the 9-to-5, they're making some side money. They're asking about investing in real estate now. How do I invest in the stock market? Like, this is a full-on program of people are transforming because they realize that it was more than just having a 9-to-5. It was more than just having one stream of income. Annalisa, I've seen what you can do. Teach me how. And I'm just like, I'm a regular person from Kentucky. There's nothing different about what anybody else can do. That I mean, they can do the same thing as me. The only difference between me and them is I research, I execute, and I just made it happen. I'm not asking anybody for permission to do anything. I just did it. Mm-hmm. So kind of trying to teach them this can be the same thing for you.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. What I mean, that's super dope. And it's inspiring too for a lot of people out there. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, another thing that I wanted to ask you too, if and this is kind of like a back to the future type question, right? Let's say hypothetically, right?
Uh-huh.
You travel back in time and you can give your younger self a piece of advice. What would that piece of advice be?
My younger self. Let me just say, I don't regret college because I think that the experience of it all was great. I think my younger self, I would tell my younger self that's not the only way. Going to 4-year school is not the only way. There's other options to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be the number one thing. I think I still would have went to college. I just think I would have maybe did a different route. And then I probably would have started a business sooner
mm-hmm.
while I was in college, honestly.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. All the listeners out there. I mean, we got a lot of business people, successful entrepreneurs that listen. So I know everybody's shouting amen from the pulpit right now hearing you talk. So
yeah. I mean, I'm fortunate enough where I didn't necessarily have that many student loans. So I was very intentional about that. I was not trying to pay off a lot of student loans. But then also, I could have got a little bit more out of my college experience too. And another one, I always tell this people, I definitely would have partied more in college and not focused 1,000% because I ain't never met anyone that asked me for my GPA. So it's pointless.
Yeah, it's true. You got to live in the moment, living intentionally and living the moment. That's what it's about.
1,000%.
You know? Yeah, with no regrets. Most definitely. I wanted to ask you this question. As far as like the whole virtual assistant business side of the industry, where do you see it headed? Like, as far as like, you know, the direction of the whole virtual assistant business?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's an excellent question because now more than any time, I think it's going to be expanding and growing. And the only reason I say that is because during the pandemic, we realized that some work can be done at home. Some organizations, I'm not talking about like your doctors or your clinical people, but a lot of businesses, they pivoted to create a stronger online presence. And they're realizing that people don't have to be present for things to get done. So when from a virtual assistant standpoint, I think the outlook in 2021 and beyond is very, very strong, just because one, there are a lot of business owners that are establishing online businesses, and they can hire someone to get work done remotely. I have some clients I've met. I have a lot of clients I've never met before, but they've trusted me with their business. And me personally, I have my own personal assistant, and she's virtual. I don't see her on a regular basis. And I personally like being able to give someone tasks and they don't have to be right there next to me. But again, when we look towards the future and how strong technology is building for pretty much every single industry, I think they will still need someone behind the scenes to kind of help with some of those tasks. And that's going to be your virtual assistant, 1,000%. I think more people will be outsourcing more for some of their businesses, because think about scaling your business. You can't do that without growing your team. And you'll need a virtual assistant. You'll need a social media manager, especially with the social media piece. Every business needs to have some type of social media presence, point blank period. I don't think you need to rely on social media, because social media changes so frequently, but you need to have some presence. And if you don't, you're definitely leaving money on the table.
Definitely. I agree 110%. And I think the fact, like you said, COVID really showed people a lot of hard lessons. You know, it showed people that you don't have to physically be present for a lot of things, like you said, number one. Uh-huh. And also number two, I think it also made people reassess their approach to business, because a lot of industries were really damaged worse than others. You know, like, even though I own a music licensing company, the podcast and everything that our company does, you know, our company actually thrived even more during that time because we do music licensing. So, you know, mm-hmm. our high-end clients, I mean, we're doing music for Calvin Klein and, you know, all these big companies, you know, NBC Sports, whatever it is, but it's digital. So our business right. is not contingent upon physically showing up somewhere. And, mm-hmm. you know, to your point, it really opened up people's eyes to a lot of things, like how vulnerable is your business structure if something like that was to happen, you know? So I think the virtual space is a space that will always thrive regardless of what's going on, you know?
Oh, I think so. Technology is so big. It's just so many things that you realize just wasn't needed at that time. You have billboards up. What's the point of having billboards if nobody's going to be on the road driving their cars? What's the point of marketing on the radio if nobody's going to be on the radio listening to music? That stronger online presence within social media. There's over 1 billion people on Instagram. 50% of those people are businesses and business owners. A lot of people that I know only use social media for business. There's a lot of business owners that don't even want to be on social media, but they know they have to from a business perspective. That's why they have.
Yes, that's me.
Yes, that's why they hire a social media manager. I want people to know, if you know people who have followers that are over like 50,000 followers, it's very likely that you are speaking to their social media manager or their virtual assistant. Because I have clients that get over 50 to 100 DMs a day, and there's no way that they're going to spend their time doing that, because their time is so valuable. Mm-hmm. Making $20,000 a month and up, their time's too valuable to be answering redundant questions via DM, mm-hmm. questions via email. That's why they're hiring a virtual assistant or social media manager from Elevated Assist to kind of help manage some of that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's a fact. That's a fact. Well, you know, one question that I wanted to ask you, you know, this is kind of like we're scaling down right now. This will probably be the final one. Can you talk about all the things that you got on the horizon for your business? Because, I mean, we know you're doing great things. We know you're being successful. So what things can we look out for? And in addition to that, how can the people reach out to you if they actually want to participate in your program?
For sure, for sure. So the best way to connect with me online is to follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter at your own risk, but follow me on Instagram at Just Annalisa, JustAnnalisa. I usually have a webinar via Zoom every Thursday to teach people about being a virtual assistant, what that looks like, what's the possibility like for them. If you want to enroll in my program, again, the link is in my bio on my Instagram page. I talk about it pretty much everywhere. And within the program, I always have to tell people, not only do I teach you how to reach out to clients, I also bring job opportunities to you. So within our Slack group, I post job opportunities for virtual assistants and social media managers every single Tuesday for my students to apply to. And then also look on my profile for the next episode of Financial Flex, where I talk with business owners, entrepreneurs, and careers about their own personal finance success, with hopes to kind of influence my audience to really be their own personal finance goals. And also, I always got something going up. I'm always on somebody's podcast. I mean, I feel like the updates, can probably be just go on my Instagram page and see kind of what's going on. But with Elevated Assist, it's going to be so much in store for Elevated Assist. I would just say stay tuned. We are currently still accepting clients. I think we'll be filling up very, very quickly, just because I'm just getting a lot of people who want to work with us. I have like a total of 7 discovery calls just today of people that would like to work with us. So yeah, stay tuned.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, we're going to keep it locked, and I'm pretty sure the listeners will definitely check it out. So, you know, we just wish you much continued success. You know, you're killing it on the virtual space. We know you're going to do great things and continue to do that.
Thank you.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So once again, this is Kyle Hunter with the Diagnosis Success Podcast, and this was a dynamic episode. We appreciate you guys listening. Take care.
Give it up.